Hello, and welcome to the BA Brew. I'm Debbie.
I'm Jamie.
And I'm Michelle.
And today we're talking about a subject that is slightly different to our usual subjects, I think, because we're talking about the ups and downs of the market for business analysts. And I'm really excited that Jamie and Michelle are joining me for this discussion, because I know they're going to offer us some different and interesting perspectives. So let's come to you first, Jamie. How do you see the current market for business analysts?
It's an interesting one. I think I'm having this call in October. I think if you're having a call in August, I think I'd have said something quite different. We're seeing a huge upturn, a positive message to start off the call, in terms of an increase in demand for our services, for what we do, but also we're seeing that, I think, across the wider sort of consultancy market, the business analysis services, which is a real positive. I'd say it's probably centered around more like hyper-specialist areas. So it tends to be looking for those with either domain expertise, looking for those with expertise or experience of a particular tech stack, as well as those that have worked in around particular delivery frameworks, whether that be GDS, you know, following that lean playbook, whether that be whatever else it may be. But we are seeing a big upturn since sort of mid-September, if I'm honest. So a real positive. And I think we've seen that in contractors, we've seen that in terms of perm recruitment, we've seen that in the consultancy sectors. However, I guess to balance that slightly, we're still seeing redundancies being made in some organisations too. And I heard of one very recently in the past week for one in the financial services sector where a proportion of their business analyst team has been impacted. So I think it's ups and downs, but I guess probably, you know, October feels like a lot more ups, and hopefully that's the trajectory we'll carry on.
Interesting, because I think you're right. There does seem to be, it's not seasonal, but there does seem to be an impact in what is going on in the economy and other factors like that. Because I remember, I think it was about 18 months ago, where people were contacting me a lot on LinkedIn saying, do you know any business analysts who are looking for work? And, you know, that played out then into all sorts of different recruitments. And Michelle, I've got a feeling that you actually experienced some of that.
Yeah, so we've done several large sort of recruitment campaigns, and they're always tough. I think it almost seems that it doesn't particularly matter what's happening in the market. You're always going to get quite a high volume of candidates. The quality is very variable, and I think that's one of the sort of primary things that makes BA recruitment such a challenge. Certainly. I mean, you know, we had the big sort of, you know, the big resignation sort of coming out of the pandemic, didn't we? And things have certainly settled since then. I think it's always hard when you're doing a recruitment. You have to be willing to put a lot of time into and to review a lot of CVs and a lot of resumes. There's a lot of candidates out there who are quite poor quality, I would say.
And what do you think makes the difference, Michelle? You know, when you're looking for somebody, particularly in a market where, as Jamie said, there are positives, but it's not where it was 18 months ago. So what sort of things do you look for from the market?
Well, what I recruit for is a really good generalist business analyst. So Jamie mentioned that some employers will look for a particular technology stack or a particular specialist role. And that I think is very prevalent, particularly in the contract space. But I look for really great generalists who are going to be a great fit for the organisation, and who one minute might be working on perhaps a big waterfall regulatory project, and the next minute they might be working in an agile squad, working with sprints and in an agile delivery methodology. So I look for really great all-rounders.
Yeah, interesting, because I think with business analysis, there are specialisms, but there is almost like a foundational all-rounder skill set. I don't know, Jamie, if you encounter not just you looking for it, but the clients that you're placing BAs into as well.
Yeah, definitely. We see, I think, it's often, I think, influenced by the experiences of the person who's then looking for those skills and the people they've worked with before. So if they're the kind of director that's only worked in one type of IT or one type of transformation projects, they expect one type of thing and probably aren't really fully aware of the breadth of business analysis, what business analysis service can offer. Whereas if you've got someone who's had a more varied path who's then looking to grow a BA practice, whether it's a BA practice leader or a non-BA practice leader, I think that tends to be what we find is like the biggest difference in terms of expectations between the two. That's what we see, I guess, more than anything. That seems to be the biggest driver.
It's interesting because we all go to the BA Manager Forum, don't we? And some of the discussions there are just so alive around business analysis, aren't they? And I think you do get that sense that in some organisations there is that sort of broader viewpoint. I think probably at the BA Manager Forum, most of them, but you do still have those conversations. And I had one recently with a BA head or leader of practice talking about, well, a lot of the BA work is quite narrow and targeted, and there's a bit of a trend at the moment in some organisations around user stories and the BAs being quite limited in their work. I don't know if you've encountered that at all. I saw Michelle's face there, by the way.
I gave myself away. I think that we're, across multiple organisations, we're seeing greater use of agile methodologies, whichever flavour that might be, more of a move to sort of squads and incremental delivery rather than these organisations standing up these big transformational multi-year programmes. And I think all of that is great. The thing for the BA, I think, is to a certain extent, that it's within their own gift. So if they want their job to become churning out user stories, and that's the only thing that they do, then actually, a developer's not going to tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, have you thought about doing a use case there, So I think that BAs have got lots of opportunities to use their BA skills and techniques as they go through their investigation. And perhaps, it may be that within the organisation, the standard for the final output is user stories. But actually, there's lots of analysis that goes into that. So I think, BAs have still got a lot of opportunities to use their full skill set and all of those techniques that they have, regardless of whether or not at an organisational level the output has been defined to be a particular technique.
Yeah. And I mean, Jamie, you must find, when you're talking to clients, that they have very differing requirements, as you've said. So would you recommend anything to BAs looking to work maybe in a consultancy environment, how they might develop their skill set at all?
Yeah, I think it depends if you want to be a permanent member of staff of a consultancy or a contractor. I think as a contractor, I think it's easier to probably be hyper specialist in a very narrow domain or a very narrow tech stack, and we've got a range of people in our network who are associates with contractors who specialize in very narrow things like CMS, large-scale CMS implementations for large global companies, or a very, very niche area of academic of higher education, possibly like academic research, and they go from one assignment to the next. I think as a permanent member of staff, there's a lot of truth in consultancy and non-consultancy in terms of what you're looking for. So obviously, I've built a lot of teams outside of consultancy environment, more in-house in organisations. And I would say the things I look for there are still the things I look for in my own business as a consultancy today. You want good, solid foundation analysis skills, exactly as Michelle was describing. I think the only thing that we would look for above that in a consultancy world would be people who are comfortable really working with ambiguity. And obviously that's true for all business analysts, but I think it's even more true in a consultancy environment where you're often going to a completely new organization. It could be a completely new domain, and expectations are often high from day one. You don't really get that same kind of onboarding or ramp up that you might do if you're joining an in-house team. So that ability to be really comfortable in that kind of vibe and actually thrive in that kind of vibe probably requires some different personal skills, not necessarily technical skills, but different personal skills that can help me navigate that.
Yeah, so if somebody's in the market, because I think it dipped this year as well, I completely agree with you. And I also think it's moving into a more positive vein. But I still do get people speaking to me and contacting me who are looking for roles, you know. And I always try to help in some way, you know, by sort of suggesting that they might look at broadening their skill set, you know, particularly if maybe they've worked in a role where they've been put into a bit of a limited corner, you know. So I always try to sort of recommend that because, you know, what you want is even if the market is a bit low and even if it is just starting to be a bit more positive, you want people to feel that there are opportunities they can go for. But it's interesting what you say about ambiguity because at the BA conference, Maggie Alfonsi had a quote which was, "Be comfortable with being uncomfortable." And I thought that is so appropriate to business analysts, you know, because actually, even if sometimes you're given a very specific brief or terms of reference, I'm one of those people that has to say, well, let's just take a look at this first, you know. And so that sense of not taking things for granted and accepting that even what looks very specific can actually be a can of worms, it's something that I think BAs need to sort of look towards and strive to be comfortable, don't you think?
Yeah. Absolutely. So, absolutely. They're really important.
Yeah, I think it is. So one of the other things that I wonder about sometimes, and I know we've talked about this hundreds of times, is I've talked to all these people who are doing fantastic work on really, really interesting projects, you know? And yet, it still feels like we're having to make the case for business analysis all the time. Do you think that's had an impact on the market? Jamie, I'll ask you. Do you think that that fact that maybe even though there's some brilliant stuff BAs can do, we're still having to make that case? What do you think?
To your question, Debbie, in response to that, you might have seen originally that we were branding ourselves as a specialist business analysis consultancy, and we've dropped that. We've dropped that as our lead tagline. And the reason being is actually we're not seeing really people coming to us having those conversations maybe in the same type of way by saying we need business analysts or we need a business analyst of this many years experience or this particular level. We still see some of that, but it's certainly not our main way of engagement with clients. And what we're seeing more often is actually we need help doing this. We want to start something off, want to do a discovery, or we need to really understand the business case. Money's a lot tighter, so it needs to be a more compelling business case than it has been, especially if you're trying to invest a huge amount of capital expenditure into a big transformation initiative or anything like that. So to be honest, I quite like that. I think that's a nicer way to talk about things. It's a lot more interesting, and it's a lot more focused on the value we're bringing rather than just I need a, or we need 10 of, or I need two of this. So I prefer that, but certainly I think that's a reaction to the market in terms of maybe people either being less aware of business analysis or having preconceptions of business analysis that may or may not be favorable. And I think additionally to that, the other thing is, and I know I think we've all said this, we've definitely all said this individually, it's not all said it collectively, is that we're not brilliant at branding. We've got a wonderful community. We've got a wonderful set of events that we all go to. We've got really good engagement in our community. A lot of people know each other. We've got so many things going for us. But actually, if you look at some of the other professions, especially probably those a little bit newer, like some of the design professions or like even product management or possibly delivery management, they're just really good at branding themselves. And I think sometimes we might be good at writing things down and explaining it in words, but actually the brand element can probably be a bit lackluster in comparison.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's interesting what you say as well, because, I mean, you both know and I know you're both very much of this mindset too, that I think we should be looking at outcomes for organisations. I very much advocate the service view, and obviously, Jamie, you and I have had a recent launch of a collaboration around that. But I really think when it comes to business analysis, you're exactly right. People don't say, oh, I must have a business analyst, unless they've worked with one before and they know what that means. What they say is, I need to make sure that this new product, this new service, this new piece of software, this new process, whatever it is good and meets the need. And I need somebody to understand what that requires. And I think maybe we should all start changing the narrative a little bit to actually focus on that a bit more. What do you think, Michelle?
Yeah, I mean, I think many BAs are quite, you know, we're kind of backroom boys, really, aren't we? So, you know, it's very rare that a BA will want to step up and take the limelight. But you're quite right. With my sort of project colleagues, what I see is they kind of don't necessarily think that that person's a brilliant BA. They just think they're brilliant, you know, but they tend to attribute it to the individual personal characteristics rather than the skill set. And actually I don't mind, as long as they got a great service and they were really happy with it, then that makes me very happy. You know, we've defined our service framework, you know, and that does help to get clarity around what we do. But I think one of the other things that's happening to the role within organizations is that as we start to see more specialist roles coming into being, it feels like there's this kind of a Venn diagram with the BA in the middle and lots of overlapping roles. So we see sort of business architect is kind of overlapping with business analysts, systems analysts, you know, product owners, scrum masters. All of these roles start to take a little piece out of the kind of business analysis domain. So my fear, I think, is that that business analysts get squeezed back into that requirement space. You know, we're seeing it similarly with service designers. That's sort of now being sort of very much talked about as a new role rather than a skill set or an additional service that can be offered by existing business analysts, for example. So I know with the BA skill set, we have lots of discussions that sometimes we think it's too broad. Sometimes we think it's too narrow. And I think, you know, I don't think that pendulum is ever going to stop in the middle, to be honest. But certainly that's my fear, is how do we make sure that our business analysts can use the full suite of skills that they have and don't just get squeezed back into that requirement space? Because that's a lot of talent that the organization is paying for that it's not getting full value from. So when I look at my own BA practice, you know, we have over 700 years worth of business analysis experience. That's a huge amount of expertise that we really want the organization to tap into.
So from my perspective, I like the fact that business analysis is so broad and has so many different aspects to it. I like that the toolkit is extensive, that I can learn lots of different things and that I can keep on learning, because to me, that's how I offer the best outcomes, both for my company and for companies that we work with as partners and as with them as our customers. So that's what I think maybe we need to change the story a little bit, and we need to focus on what we're looking for. But as individuals, we also need to understand that it's not easy. You know, being a business analyst, if you're a good one, you've got to keep learning, haven't you? I mean, and I know I've met your team and they all seem very, very positive and highly skilled. And I'm sure that they would all want to be learning.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I think that, you know, business analysts have, they have a huge amount of autonomy in terms of how they do their role, that gives them an opportunity to, you know, to maybe they've learned a new technique. You know, they have every opportunity to put that into practice, because I think very often, as business analysts, sometimes we think about techniques. We're really good at using tech to explain things to others. The opportunity that I think we often overlook are techniques to understand. And that's actually, how can you use a technique and you're just going to sketch it out in your notebook? It's not for anybody else's consumption, but it just helps you to understand the situation that you're looking at. And if you start to include those techniques to understand, really the world is your oyster, you know, because it's just for you. You can do whatever you like, really. So there's plenty of opportunity to try out something new.
I love that. I love that because I love trying out new things. And I am one of those people who will analyze anything, anywhere, anytime. You know, what about you, Jamie? Are you into this way of looking at things as well?
Yeah, much to Carolyn's annoyance, I think she would say. But yes, in private life, in work life, in all matters, I think. And I think it's a way of thinking that you can just apply to any situation. And I think it's Adrian Reed who say it's a blessing as much as it's a curse sometimes being a business analyst, isn't it? In terms of you can apply that skill set to so many different facets, but actually. But at the same time, you can be fully creative with it too. And I think that's certainly the blessing. So yes, that's what I'd say.
Yes. It's interesting though, isn't it? Because when we look at the BA market, and as I said earlier, I do agree, Jamie, I do think things are creeping up. I mean, the amount of change that organisations are going through for so many different reasons, it's almost bound to happen, isn't it? But sometimes it can feel like organisations, I don't know, maybe lack a bit of confidence on investing in the analysis part of the process because jumping to a solution feels a bit quicker and cheaper. But I do think within the market, as more and more organisations are recognising that change isn't always that straightforward and that actually things can be ambiguous, then I think more and more there's a recognition that people are needed who can deal with that. So, you know, hopefully things will continue to move forward. But just before we finish, I'm just going to come to you for a final thought. So, Jamie, you first. Final thought on the BA market.
Tough past 18 months, but things are looking up.
Lovely. Nice summary. Michelle, how about you?
I think that it's always a challenging market. I think my tip for anybody who's sort of currently looking would be to really put time into, making a really quality application rather than perhaps pressing a button and sending the same CV off for multiple roles. So, go for quality rather than quantity, I would say.
I think that's a really, really good point because I see CVs and occasionally help people with CVs outside in different roles as well. And you just look at it and think that could have been presented much, much better. And actually don't get yourself not taken further because you haven't put that time in. Really good point. And the future is bright, Jamie. Thank you. Okay, well, thank you both very much for joining this conversation. The BA market is a really interesting topic, and obviously we all track it very, very closely, as I'm sure a lot of other people do. If you've enjoyed watching this episode of the BA Brew, please like and subscribe at our YouTube channel. And if you're sitting there thinking, oh, I wish they'd talked about that, then please email us at babrew@assistkd.com. Thanks very much.